Hello, welcome back to Under Our Roof. Today you have Lizzie and Francis, who is currently in a wrap, in the Solly baby wrap, for those who are curious. I really like it. On me, I'm sitting in her nursery in a glider, rocking, and she's totally asleep. And this is the time that I'm going to record this podcast. Grace wants to send regards to everyone. Also, you're probably going to hear background noise because my dogs are jumping around. And that's just the household that we're in. That's what it is under our roof right now, which is kind of honestly what we wanted when we started this podcast. Like, it actually makes me really happy to have these spur of the moment. Like, okay, I have 30 minutes, maybe. Although you can probably hear Francis like snorting and grunting right now, which is something she does a lot in her sleep. But anyway, I have maybe a few minutes, and so I'm going to record, and these are the sounds under our roof, which I'm so grateful for. My little dogs making noises and stepping on little crinkle toys in the nursery, if you heard that, and then little Francis breathing on my chest, which is just so sweet. So today I had an idea to do like a postpartum episode, postpartum fireside chat with me. And Grace is working on music right now, so that's why it's just me today. But we're making it work, like with our new world, having a child. It's honestly going really well. I'm really thankful for so many things in this postpartum season, but I am just over 6 weeks out from having a baby. And that's why I thought it might be a good time to share a little bit. And I hope that this episode is interesting, whether you are interested in ever having a child or you already have kids, or even if you aren't, but there are people likely in your life at some point who will have kids and you might be curious, like what is involved. And also if you wanted to support someone who is in the postpartum stage, I'm going to share some things that have been really great for me and some tips that I would have that I'll honestly use in the future when my friends have kids, because I have learned a lot about like what's actually helpful and what's not as great. And yeah, I just wanted to share a snippet into my mind and my world right now. So like I said, I am at the 6 week mark. I'm a little past it now by the time you hear this, which is kind of a milestone in some ways. So you might have heard there's like the 6 week appointment that most of the time, like when you have a baby, they schedule your next appointment with your OB 6 weeks later to check everything, make sure you're healing and all of that. And you can ask any questions that have come up, whether about breastfeeding or your healing or any symptoms postpartum. And it's also in California, at least, I think maybe this is federal or maybe it's California, but 6 weeks is the amount of time that you get for short-term disability leave. So that, to me, I'm not saying that that's how much time it takes to heal, but it's sort of a marker of like, that's how much time maybe society thinks it takes to heal based on the disability leave that you can get for having a baby. And it's also halfway through what they call the fourth trimester, which just means your pregnancy is broken up into three trimesters, which makes sense, tri being three. So the fourth trimester is sort of like a little bit of a play on words, because obviously there are not four things in a trimester, but it's the same length as one of your trimesters, but on the outside. So another 12 weeks, each trimester is about 12 weeks. And you have another 12 weeks after that's considered the fourth trimester, which is kind of like the newborn phase and just you adjusting to life as a new parent or a parent of two, three, four, if it's not your first. So I'm halfway through that period and I wanted to share what it feels like. I am honestly amazed at how much I do feel healed for me. And also I should clarify, I had a vaginal delivery, not a C-section. So nothing that I'm saying is really relating to having a C-section. And I do think it's a lot more challenging to heal for the most part. So I'm not suggesting that like after 6 weeks, you wouldn't have any pain if you had a C-section or if you had any kind of delivery. But for me, I felt like when I first, like the first couple weeks home, it seemed unfathomable that at 6 weeks I would not be in pain or that I would not just be uncomfy. But somehow it kind of like turned around in the last couple weeks. I think I mentioned on an earlier episode that like around the month mark is when I felt like mostly healed. And I would say that's generally true. But even now at 6 weeks, I feel like even better. And I feel like mostly back to my old self physically, which is kind of wild, other than breastfeeding, because that's a whole body thing that's just very different than prior to giving birth. But like, as far as giving birth, I do feel like I'm healed, and my 6 week appointment went really well. Everything looks great. And I'm just really, really thankful. So I hope that that is encouraging, that if you are interested in giving birth one day, that you could be feeling better. And I hope it's not discouraging if that hasn't been your experience. If you at 6 weeks still had pain or just didn't feel great physically, I know the healing process can go very different for different people, but that's been kind of my experience. I also wanted to share a little bit about like what I actually used as far as postpartum products and care, because I got a lot of stuff in advance, which I was very influenced by TikTok to get, because there's kind of like these postpartum care baskets that they recommend making, which I do feel like those are really helpful. Like, put one on the back of the toilet, put one by your sink in the bathroom. I do think they're helpful, because the thing is, when you just had a baby, like every time you have to go to the bathroom, it's kind of a thing. And so I really enjoyed, I guess enjoyed maybe isn't the right word, but I really benefited from wearing adult diapers. I'll just be honest, I think I already said this in another episode. That is so helpful, because rather than like wrangling like underwear and pads and everything, when you're really fresh, you just had a baby, the diapers that you just pull on and off are amazing. So I highly recommend those. The brand that I liked was Secret. They make really good ones. And then I kind of like graduated in stages, and I'm sorry, this is TMI, but I feel like in the birth world, there like really isn't TMI, because it's just so physical, and it's also in a very intimate part of your body that it's physical. So there's no way of really talking about birth and the aftermath without getting a little bit TMI. But I basically graduated in stages in the like undergarment department. So I went from adult diapers, which probably was like 2-3 weeks, maybe 2 weeks. And then I graduated to like disposable mesh underwear. I had some mesh underwear from the hospital that they gave me, that they sent me home with. And then I also bought the Frida Mom like disposable boy short underwear. Those are really comfy. And then like with pads in there. And then from there, I graduated to postpartum underwear, which don't get like suckered into feeling like you have to buy so many things. But by postpartum underwear, I really just mean like kind of like really comfy, dark colored granny panty type underwear, but like not disposable, like that you can start to wear again and again. So I bought them from the Kindred Bravery. I think that's the name of the company. Nothing I'm saying is like obviously sponsored or anything. These are just brands and products that I liked. I think it's called Kindred Bravery. They make a bunch of like nursing and postpartum products, and probably maternity as well. And I bought their postpartum underwear, and they're basically just like very comfy, large, you know, good coverage, sort of dark colored underwear. So I wore those, and I still wear those actually sometimes because they're just very comfy. But I graduated from adult diapers to disposable underwear with pads to postpartum underwear with pads. And then eventually you just wear your normal underwear. And now I've worn like my underwear that I wore pre-pregnancy a few times now. And I'm like, oh, this feels normal and fine. It's kind of amazing. I wore my jeans yesterday, like my favorite pair of jeans that I hadn't worn since like the first few weeks of pregnancy. That was pretty cool. They still are like a little tight, but yeah, it's kind of like amazing how you do go back. Like when you're so hugely pregnant, you feel like I'll never wear any of, I almost got rid of a lot of clothes. I did get rid of a ton of clothing when I was pregnant, because I was just like, I'm never going to fit into this stuff again. Like there's no way my body can like recover from how hugely pregnant I am. But I actually am glad that I didn't get rid of some favorite things like favorite jeans and stuff, because you do actually you know, your body just changes so much in a short period of time. I mean, there's some stuff that just isn't my style, and my body is forever changed. Like, I'm not expecting to be identical to the size or the shape or whatever that I was before pregnancy, but like, you do change from when you're 40 weeks pregnant. Like, you're not going to, you will fit into things that wouldn't fit you at that stage. Another thing that I used a lot of is Dermaplast, which is like a spray. I guess it's made for like cuts and itches and scratches, but you can just spray it. You can spray it into your underwear before you put them on. You can spray all around the area. And I definitely did, but when I typed up notes for this episode, when I typed up the word Dermaplast, the smell, it has a very distinct smell. The smell of it like hit me in my mind. Like, I haven't smelled it in weeks because I probably stopped using it like after a couple weeks. But everything after postpartum feels so like medicalized, at least it did for me. Like, you're just having to like use sprays and gauzes and disposable underwear, and the smell of it, I feel like I just got like war flashbacks when I even wrote the word Dermaplast, but it is helpful. And then another thing that I really found so helpful postpartum, which friends recommended, and I almost like didn't believe them, but I had friends say, you're gonna want everything you eat and drink to be warm. Like, you're gonna want casseroles and soups and stews and chicken bakes and, you know, pot pies and that kind of thing. And then you're going to want to drink like bone broth and warm liquids and tea. And I mean, it's winter, so like that makes sense to have those things. But I'm more than 6 weeks out. This week, I started putting ice in my beverages again. And I'm an ice girly. Like, I love filling up a cup with ice and then like a little bit of water because I just love like to have ice. I like for it to like slowly melt. I could not have beverages with ice for weeks postpartum because it would give me the chills. And not because the house was cold. We had the heat cranked up because we have a newborn. We don't want it to be chilly in the house at all. And I just would get I would be shaking after I had like a Diet Coke. Well, a caffeine-free Diet Coke, which is like my weird little treat. I had a caffeine-free Diet Coke with ice in it, the week after she was born, and I was like shaking. I had the chills so bad. And it's true, like, I just want to drink bone broth every day and eat like casseroles and bakes and stuff. It's so helpful to your body. I'm sure if you are in like the birth world at all, you've heard this, but they always say like, remember, you literally have a dinner plate sized wound inside your body because of the placenta detaching, and that has to heal. Like, so keeping your insides really warm with warm liquids and stuff is super helpful. And I kind of thought that was like a nice idea, but I didn't think it would be so true. And it really is. Like, I just stock up on like broth that you can drink, or if you're not into drinking broth, then tea. And like even hot chocolate, like you can make it sweet, but yeah, you're gonna want warm stuff. Okay, a couple other things that I'll say about my postpartum time, which overall has been like so incredibly positive, is finding some kind of routine and rhythm, I feel like is essential for mental health, at least for me. At the beginning, you're like, oh, I'll never have like a morning routine, or I'll never have an evening routine again because my life revolves around this unpredictable tiny little thing. And babies do actually like routines. I mean, that's what I've heard, and mine mostly does. We don't follow anything strict, and nothing is like by the clock. I heard somebody say recently, or I think I read this actually in a blog that I was reading, that with babies, you want to think about the difference between a schedule and a routine. A schedule is like by the clock, and a routine is just doing the same repeated things every day, but it doesn't necessarily happen at the exact same time. And that was helpful for me to think about, but kind of like letting myself know what to expect so that I can have like little things to look forward to is so helpful. Like, as soon as she goes to sleep for the night, like as soon as she starts her night sleep, I always take a shower. And at the beginning of postpartum, I would usually like try to find time to take a shower like in the morning or during the day. But I have noticed that I sleep really well if I take a shower right before I go to sleep. And honestly, she sleeps great too when we give her a bath right before she goes to bed. So there's like something about it that's just really helpful. I'm not saying you should do that if you're thinking about your own postpartum routine, but like, I kind of look forward to that. Like, I know that, like, okay, once she goes to sleep, then I'm going to take my shower, and then we usually watch TV in bed. And that's just, like, a nice, it's so small. It's not like a 12-step, like, skincare and, you know, this whole thing, but it is just really nice to, like, kind of know what to expect. And then in the morning, I mean, I'm so fortunate to have a partner that's also home with me right now, but in the morning, Frances usually wakes up at like 7. She also wakes up once in the night too, but she usually wakes up for like to start her day at like 7, and then I feed her, and then Grace takes her and I go back to sleep till like 10, like when she needs to eat next. And that's been so nice to just kind of like know what my schedule is. And another thing I'll say, I got a very kind message that was like, how are you cooking all this stuff? Like, I had posted a meal that I made. I've been like enjoying posting my postpartum meals on Instagram stories lately. And I posted a meal. It was like steak and mac and cheese and a salad. And somebody was like, how are you doing this? Like, people with newborns typically don't like cook this much, or they're not on their feet. And for me, like, it has been so good for my mental health to cook, which maybe seems odd, but for me, the lowest I felt was at the beginning when I just felt like I couldn't do anything for myself. Like, I remember when I first got home from the hospital, having this, like, looking around my kitchen, and it was like kind of messy. Of course, like, I mean, we just had a baby, and like my mom was staying with us, and it was just kind of chaotic at the time. And I remember looking around and just feeling this like deep sinking feeling of like, I am too weak to stand to clean the kitchen right now. Like, I have to sit down, and I absolutely should have. I just had a baby 2 days ago, but I was like so sad that I couldn't just like have things kind of be how I wanted. And in my mind, I was like, and it's going to be like this for months. Like, when am I going to ever have the strength to like clean the kitchen? And now, 6 weeks out, I'm like, no, it comes back. Like, things bounce back faster than you might think they did for me. And now, like, Frances loves to be in a baby carrier. So if she's kind of drowsy, like, if she's wanting to be awake and have like a really active wake time, we'll usually go play and like look at her black and white cards and like play with her rattles and stuff. But if she's kind of drowsy, then if she, you know, she's had a nap recently, but like she's kind of maybe angling towards another nap, I'll put her in a baby carrier. She's in one right now. She's in the wrap on me. And then I can totally cook. Like, she's happy as a clam, just like chilling in the carrier on me while I'm going around the kitchen, doing my thing, listening to a podcast. Like, oh, it's just so, so good for me mentally to like just do things that I like. And for me, cooking is like a creative outlet, and I have so much fun with it. For you, it might not be cooking. For some people, it's like, that sounds horrible. Like, the longer I can go with the excuse of like, I just had a baby, so I'm not going to cook, the better. And that's fair, totally fair. But for me, I love cooking. And so maybe for you, it's like, you want to go outside and take a walk. I wish I did that more. But to me, like, cooking is better for my mental health. Like, a walk is great, but I'd rather like have my time in the kitchen, because that's just something that's so fun to me. And so, yeah, I feel like you can add those things back in. And I am like, again, not to repeat myself, but I'm kind of like amazed that I feel good enough to do it, because right after giving birth, you kind of feel like you're never going to be the same again. And you aren't, at least in my experience. Like, the world has completely shifted on its axis for me since having my baby. But physically, like, I can totally cook a meal. And if Grace is around and wanting to hang out with Frances, even better, because then I just plop Frances down with Grace and they're hanging out, and then I'm really doing my own thing, making dinner. But I also don't mind cooking with her in a carrier. Okay, last, and then I'm going to switch to some ideas for like supporting people postpartum. Last, I had heard this saying before having a baby, that there's like the 5-5-5 rule, or I don't know if it's a rule, but it's like a saying that you should spend 5 days in bed after having the baby. Like, you're literally just staying in bed, getting up to go to the bathroom maybe, but you want to have people bring you your meals in bed. They bring you the baby to nurse, or to give a bottle if you're not nursing, or if somebody else wants to give the baby the bottle, great. And then you are just like physically in bed for 5 days. Then 5 days, so the first 5 days on the bed, first 5 days in bed, next 5 days on the bed, meaning like you can get up more, you can like sit up and sit up in bed. Maybe you are like doing your favorite puzzle or I don't know, something in that you can do in bed. Maybe you're reading, you're just sitting up, you're a little bit more with it the second 5 days, but you're still pretty much in bed, but you're like on the bed instead of in the bed under the covers. And then the next 5 days you're near the bed is what they say. So you are maybe getting up to do some light things around the house. Maybe you want to get up and cook a meal for yourself that you can prepare quickly, but you're still near the bed and spending a lot of time in bed. So that's about 2 weeks, 15 days that you're like really taking it easy. And that's something that a lot of like midwives and doulas I've heard recommend to do to really maximize your healing and just to recognize like you're healing from a major thing, whether it's however you gave birth. You might be healing from surgery if you had a C-section, or you're healing from pushing a baby out, and you're either way, your placenta detaching, which like I said, is like an open wound inside your body. So just taking it super, super easy. I loved that idea when I was pregnant and I planned to do it. And then my baby had to go to the NICU, and I was in the NICU for a few days and like hobbling around, and the closest bathroom was like a couple minutes walk, which I mean, maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but I would have to leave the NICU every time I had to go to the bathroom because there wasn't one for the public, like for visitors in the NICU. So I had to leave and like walk down the hall of the hospital to go to the bathroom, do my thing with my dermaplast and everything. I had like a little bag of supplies and then hobble back, scrub back in. My hands were like raw, which I mean, I'm glad they had a scrub in because it's obviously a fragile environment in the NICU, but like it was like a 15-minute procedure just to go to the bathroom. And I was on my feet a lot, and my bed was like a little pull-out chair, and I was also under so much stress. So very quickly, the 555 thing was not possible because I was in the NICU. And that was like very humbling and also just like sad for me because I had had this like romanticized idea of postpartum at the beginning that it was, I was going to like really take it easy. And like, you know, I tend to be a go, go, go kind of person. Like I'm usually a morning person. I want to hop up. I want to cook. I want to clean. I want to work. And I'm just like tend towards being pretty productive in general. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to like go against that and really let people wait on me. You know, I just had a baby. My mom's going to be here. She can take care of me. Grace can obviously take care of me. People want to bring by food. Like, this is amazing. And that's not how it was for me at all at the beginning because of being in the NICU. And I remember getting home and just feeling so raw. We got home on Christmas. And Christmas Day in the afternoon. And I had been like fighting to get out of there. I was like really like begging them to keep it moving and like discharge her so we could be home for some of Christmas. And then by the time we got home, I just sat on the couch and I just felt so depleted and so devastated. I just sobbed. I sat on the couch holding Francis and I just sobbed and was like, I felt like a ringing in my ears and just like so raw. And I did not feel like an ounce of Christmas in that moment. And I honestly am looking forward to next year, just kind of almost treating it like her first Christmas. Not that I want to pretend that this past year didn't happen, but just like that wasn't really her first Christmas. Like I really want to have like a special, like my first Christmas next year. Anyway, I digress, but I just wanted to say that to be like, I know that now I'm saying things are really good and they are. Like, I'm really, really thankful for how things have gone. And like, I just feel like I have the best baby in the world. Of course, every parent feels that way. But at the beginning, my postpartum plans did not, or my postpartum life did not look like my plans. And I felt like really sorry for myself when I got home from the NICU because I just felt like that sort of blissful, like healing and taking things slow mentality was impossible in my situation. And I do feel like it hindered my healing at the beginning. And I feel like I pushed myself too much at the beginning, but I sort of had no choice. Okay, switching to support. It is so amazing how supported we felt. We have so many people that have checked in and, you know, brought by food or wanted to help and just offered to do things, which is so kind and like, it makes me look back on everybody that I've known that has had a baby. And I'm like, why didn't I do more to, now that I know how it is when you have a baby, I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have done more for to support those people postpartum. And I'm looking forward to like using what I've learned for anybody else in my life that has a baby going forward. And I feel like I'm in a better place now to be able to offer support and love and tangible things as well. So a few ideas. Food is always appreciated, but just communicate about it. I didn't have this happen, but I imagine like if somebody showed up and like dropped a dinner on your doorstep that like needed to be eaten that night because it's fresh and it like wouldn't really freeze, that might be a little actually stressful if you hadn't planned for it. Because if you're like, well, we already have a ton of food here and like now we have something else that we have to change our plans around. So just communicate. But I've had people drop off meals that like didn't need to be eaten right away. They were like, stick it in the fridge and here's the instructions for heating it up. And that was so nice. Like I have this memory and I shared this on Instagram stories too, so you might have seen it. But when Francis was probably like 2-3 weeks old, my mom had left. My mom was here for the first like 2.5 weeks of Francis's life. So it must have been like 3 weeks out. I woke up from my morning nap, how I always sleep till like 10 or 11 while Grace has Francis. And I woke up to my friend saying like, hey, I made congee, which if you don't know is this like rice porridge that's so good. There's congee on your porch in a baggie. If you want to just stick it in the fridge, there's instructions. And yeah, enjoy. And I like woke up from the best nap ever. And then I made myself a bowl of congee and she'd even brought over like soy marinated eggs and like chopped up the green onions for us and everything. And it was so good, unbelievably tasty. And just like so nice. And we could have had that for a few days. Like it would have kept in the fridge pretty well. So it wasn't like, oh, I have to deal with this now, if that makes sense. We also had friends give us like Uber Eats gift cards, which is so generous and sweet. And we've totally used those. We've definitely ordered more takeout than we typically do, which is, I'm grateful to have a lot of good options around for takeout because sometimes you just need to get takeout. Also for visits, we've had a lot of visits. We try to space them out a little bit. And I imagine a lot of people feel that way because you don't want to overwhelm yourselves. You want to be careful of germs. And so for us, we've always tried to have a buffer of like at least a day or two in between visitors. Sometimes that hasn't worked out, but for the most part, we've just tried to like keep it manageable. And I'm glad we did because having a visitor is kind of like a big event when you're so fragile and like so freshly postpartum. And so we love having our people meet Francis. It's so special to see them with her. I see things on social media where people are like, they don't want visitors, or if they have visitors, they don't want the visitors to hold their baby. And like, I totally get that, but I haven't really felt that way. I love for people to hold her. Of course, as soon as you get into someone's house that has a new baby, wash your hands immediately. Most people do that automatically, but sometimes you forget. So I just always remind, as soon as everyone walks in, I'm like, hey, would you wash your hands? We're asking everyone to do that. And, I'm happy to have people hold Francis. I think it's like so sweet to see, like my uncle came over the other day and like to see him holding his great niece, grandniece. It's just like so full circle life moment. So I love it. But if you don't want anyone to hold your baby, then you can just say it. Also, a little tip that I will say, if there is even a chance that you are sick or you've been exposed to someone who's sick, do not come over. And like, I know normally in life, you might be like, hey, like my roommate had a cold last week. Like, I know we were supposed to get dinner. Are you cool? Like, I don't have any symptoms, but I just wanted to like be honest and tell you, are you cool with it? And you let the person say like if they feel comfortable with that. I think that's fine, like in normal life. But when you're visiting somebody with a newborn, just take yourself out of the running of visiting. Like, don't put it on. I have had that happen. And I don't mean to sound like I'm like subtweeting anyone, but where people have been like, oh, hey, like my spouse is sick, but like I haven't had symptoms. I'm like, okay, don't put it on me to cancel with you though, because Oh, hey, Francis. Hey, Francis. She feels the same way. She is so funny. She makes these noises sometimes in her sleep. Like, she's totally asleep right now, but sometimes she just has to say something. Anyway. So, yeah, don't put it on the person with the baby to cancel on you or, like, to say, like, hey, I'm not comfortable with you coming over. Just if there's even a chance, if you've been around anybody that's sick, if you think, well, it's probably allergies, but I am sniffly, like, just say, hey, I, out of an abundance of caution, like, I'm going to cancel for today because I might be sick. And, like, I obviously would hate to expose your baby. Like, I promise new parents will not be like, oh, what a flake. They'll be like, thank you for being so responsible. And it's kind of awkward. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm surprised when people are like, oh, well, is it okay? And it's like, no, of course not. Like, this is a newborn with no immune system. I mean, that's actually not totally true. Newborns do have some immune system, and a lot of it, like, comes from the mom. And from breastfeeding, you get antibodies, and you get, even if you're formula feeding, you give your baby a lot of antibodies when you're pregnant. So they do have some protection, but, like, they're still extremely vulnerable and fragile. So if there's any chance that you're sick, do not come over. Also, I would say be flexible with scheduling because the parents, you know, likely are juggling a lot. But then on the flip side, be on time. So if you're like, I'm coming at this time, be on time, because it can be a little stressful when, like, somebody's like, hey, I'm going to be an hour late. And you're like, oh, okay, well, it's kind of conflict. Like, she just went to sleep or whatever. So if we know in advance, like, okay, we're going to have guests tomorrow at 2, then we can, like, plan around that. And it's kind of hard when the time changes at the last minute. And also, I feel like I sound like, I don't know, an annoying etiquette column or something. But I promise I'm just saying all these things, like, that I've thought of. I'm really not trying to say nobody in general has been, like, a bad guest at all. But don't stay quite as long as you normally might when you go to visit a new baby, because even if everyone seems like they're totally having a great time and, like, I'm sure the new parents are, like, really happy to see you, but what they might not say is that the longer the visit goes on, the more in the back of their mind they're like, okay, like, how long has it been since she's eaten? Like, I need to feed her. If you're breastfeeding, maybe you feel uncomfortable doing that in front of visitors. I have honestly been like, I don't care. Plus everyone that's come over has been close with us, but you know, it can be stressful to have visitors that are there for, like, quite a long time. And so it might seem rude, like, hey, I know I've only been here for 30 minutes or an hour. Or, I don't know. For me, like, an hour or so feels like a great length for a friend visit when the baby's so fresh. But some people want a shorter visit. Like, I've seen people say, like, a 20-minute visit when they're a newborn is plenty, and that may be true for you. For us, like, a lot of the people we haven't seen in weeks because I didn't do that much while I was super pregnant, and then the first few weeks of having her, like, we weren't really doing much. So now I'm, like, wanting to see friends that I haven't seen in so long, so I want the visits to be, like, at least an hour. But I think after a while, like, it can be hard if you have a visit that's, like, 3 hours long, because that's kind of like a whole cycle with a newborn, because newborns typically, like, eat every 2 to 3 hours. And so if you feed the baby right before somebody comes over, which is usually what I try to do, because then the baby's, like, the most calm and happy if they've just eaten, then by 3 hours, they've already, like, have been supposed to have a nap and be ready to eat again. So it's just kind of like a long time to have a guest. And you might start to get stressed out. Now, some other people may feel totally differently because they might want somebody around to, like, help with all these things. But if you're just popping by for, like, a social visit to meet the baby, I would say, like, don't stay as long as you normally might outside of this context. I keep standing up. I don't know if you can hear the changes in my voice, but I'm, like, bouncing Frances a little bit. But she's doing good. She'll probably want to eat in, like, 30 minutes. But she's asleep right now. Okay, I think that's about what I have for visits and for supporting people postpartum. I would say, especially if you are coming over for a postpartum visit, it is very sweet if you want to bring something, but at least for me, don't feel like you have to. Like, don't feel like just because you're going to somebody's house that has a baby, like you have to bring them all these things, especially like if you've already given them like a baby shower gift. Like, I've sometimes felt so like overwhelmed by how generous people have been. And don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining at all. But when people have like already given us baby gifts and then they come over to see the baby and they're bringing more things, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's too nice. It's so sweet. I would say don't feel like you have to bring things. I don't know, maybe just bring like a little treat for the parents, like a snack or something. Obviously, you can't bring anything really for the baby to consume. So, you know, they're drinking milk only at this point, but something for the parents is always nice, I guess. But like, I really wouldn't feel like you have to bring something. Anyway, I think that's about it. I hope that's been helpful. I just love talking about this time. I'm like kind of surprised how quickly I've been very into all things baby. Like, I've liked babies and I was like excited to be a parent before I had a baby, but I wasn't like a baby person. I wasn't somebody that would just be like, I love babies so much. Like, give me a baby. Like, I want to hold the baby. I thought they were adorable and I was like very interested in like what it would look like for me if I had a baby, but I wouldn't say I was like baby crazy, but I kind of am now. Like, when I see other people's babies, mostly like online, I'm not really seeing a lot of babies in real life, but we do have neighbors that have babies. I think they're so much cuter and like more special and interesting than I used to. I'm like, oh my gosh, look, that baby like kicks their little legs just like how Francis does. And like, ugh. So I feel like this time has really changed me. I love like talking about baby stuff. And I promise it's not the only thing in my personality, but it is a big part of my life right now. So I enjoy sharing about it. We have an idea for our next episode that has nothing to do with babies or postpartum or really anything of this nature. And we're, I think, going to record that tonight, actually, so that Grace has more time to edit, because we've been getting in this pattern of like, it's already Saturday or Sunday and we haven't done an episode, which is part of why I'm doing this solo phone notes episode today. But we are recording a different idea either tonight or in the next couple of days that Grace will then have like a week to edit. And yeah, so we'll be back next week with something not about babies if you are not into babies as much, which I totally understand. And thanks so much for listening. Have a great week and we'll see you next time. Bye.